Speaking of walking on, I was thinking tonight when I come in, I want to say that it sure is good. I always have this concern, and it shouldn't be. It ought to be just natural for this to happen, but I just know that it don't always happen. But we had some folks graduate two weeks ago or whatever. Sure is good to see you guys in church tonight. It's an encouragement to me to see Taylor here, Andrew, Morgan, Nathan. It's just good to see folks that gotten out of school but haven't gotten out of church. Amen. I hope you guys stay in church. Walk on. Amen. Keep on going for the Lord. Acts chapter number 2, we're going to look at, start our series back on Peter that we left off a couple weeks ago, almost a couple months ago now. I want to say this too, that video we watched Brother Caudle. I think Brother Caudle's a man after my own heart. The man had an alliterated outline in his video and a Keurig in the background. That man right there, I can relate to that man right there. I thought, I'm going to like this guy. But no, Brother Caudle is going to be a blessing. I know I've heard his preaching before, and I'm looking forward to him being with us. But we're going to pick up in Acts chapter number 2. Last time we were looking at Peter's life, I preached a series of messages on Peter through the Gospels, and we stopped it right before Mother's Day, and we left off in John chapter number 21, and we were looking at Peter there when he was confronted by Jesus after he had failed Jesus, and then Jesus resurrected from the grave, and Jesus came to Peter, And he confronted Peter, and Peter, I believe, got right with the Lord. And Jesus told Peter, Peter, I got a work for you to do, feed my sheep. And so we left off there in John 21, and tonight we're going to pick up in Acts chapter number 2. We're just going to look at a couple more messages. I'm not exactly sure how many, but I have a couple that I've prepared about, out of the book of Acts on Peter. And so tonight we're going to pick up in Acts chapter 2 on Peter's preaching. I want to look at Peter's preaching in Acts chapter number 2. If you'll look in verse number 14, the Bible says this, but Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken to my words. And so we see where Peter began to preach a message here. Most of us, I almost entitled this message Peter and Pentecost, but I want to title it Peter's preaching. I read after one man that said this, and I thought it was good. I wanted to read what he said. He said that this introduced a new type of religious ministry. The occasion was without parallel. The substance of the sermon was fresh and startling, and the impression made by it was strange and unprecedented. It is a model of homiletics for all Christ preachers and Christian teachers. As I've been studying this section, I'll be honest with you, I've been challenged about my own preaching. And as I come to preach tonight, I always try to make my messages apply to everyone here. So there may be some that say, well, you're talking about preaching, Brother David. I'm not a preacher. Well, I would tend to argue with that. I guess it depends on who you ask, right? If you're a preacher or not. But whether you're a preacher or whether you're a Sunday school teacher or whether you're just a Christian, we've all been called to be witnesses. And though we may not all stand behind a pulpit, we should all be preaching. We should all be preaching to our family. We should all be preaching to our friends. We should all be preaching to our coworkers. We should all be preaching to our classmates. We should all be preaching to anyone that God crosses our paths with. As Christians, as believers, it is our job to preach the gospel. Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. And so I want to preach to you tonight a message, or I want to, with that thought in mind, I want us to look at some lessons from the life of Peter, and I want to look at Peter's preaching. I think there's a lot that we can learn. I think there's a lot that I can learn as a preacher, but I think it's a lot that we all can learn as witnesses, as people that are to be preaching the gospel. And so number one, the first thing I see about Peter's preaching is the method of his preaching, the method of his preaching. In verse number four, I want you to see what it says in verse four. It says, in verse number four, it says, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. I read that verse of scripture because it says they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. So that would include Peter, right? And so Peter is spirit-filled. That's my first point about the method of his preaching. He was spirit-filled. Look at verse number 33. In his sermon in verse number 33, it says, therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this which ye now see and hear. So Peter is preaching this message, and as he comes to the close of this message, he tells the people that he's preaching to, he said, Jesus promised us that he would send the Holy Ghost in Acts chapter number 1. If we were to look back in Acts chapter 1 and verse number 8, Jesus told his disciples that he said, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, right? So Jesus told his disciples, he said, you go and you wait for the power. You go and you wait for the comforter. You go and you wait for the Holy Spirit to come. In Acts chapter number 2, the Spirit came, the comforter came, the power came. And so Peter is Spirit filled. And I want to say in his method of preaching, he was Spirit filled. And how we need to be Spirit filled. More than anything tonight, I was reminded as I was preparing this message that more than anything tonight, what I need as a preacher is to be filled with the Spirit. I wish I was a little funnier sometimes, if I'm honest with you. I hear some of these preachers and they can tell a joke or they can tell a story and make you laugh and get you engaged. And sometimes I wish sometimes I just had a little bit better sense of humor. Sometimes I wish I was a better orator. I wish sometimes that I wasn't so hillbilly and I could orate a little better, right? Sometimes I wish I was a little more polished and not so rough around the edges. But at the end of the day, what I need more than anything as a preacher is not some funny jokes, not some tear-jerking story, not some great illustration. What I need as a preacher more than anything else is to be Spirit-filled. I need to have the Spirit of God filling me as I speak the Word of God. But can I tell you, as a Christian, as a witness, as a co-worker, as a friend, as a family member, as a father, you too need to be filled with the Spirit. You know, there's nothing more. I know that you're going to be able to relate to what I'm saying. There is nothing more, I shouldn't say nothing, but there's not many things more discouraging or more frustrating than trying to present or trying to preach without the power of the Spirit. If you've ever done it, you know what I'm talking about. I've stood in pulpits and I've preached, and about 2-3 minutes into my message, I've known, oh man, I'm doing this in the power of the flesh. You ever witness to somebody at work and you're talking to them and you're trying to present the gospel to them and you're just getting tongue-tied and you can't even remember verses that your second grader knows and you just feel like, and I understand, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness of this world. I understand that there's spiritual warfare, but I'll be honest with you, sometimes it's just we're not Spirit-filled. Sometimes we're trying to do the work of God in the power of the flesh. Pastor talked about it this morning. We think, oh, if I stay up till 4 o'clock in the morning, oh, if I come up with a great illustration, oh, if I come up with a good story, oh, if I have a funny joke to put in my outline, oh, if everything's just alliterated right, then surely my message is going to go forth with power. But sometimes if we're not careful, it'll all be done in the power of the flesh. But Peter, his method of preaching was he was filled with the Spirit, and how we need to be Spirit-filled. God help us to be Spirit-filled as we witness to our family members and our friends and our co-workers. There's nothing better than when you go to witness to someone and you go to preach to someone, and all of a sudden while you're talking to them, you can just sense the Spirit working. Scripture that you don't even know you know are coming to your mind. And illustrations and stories and just connecting, and you just know God is using me. It's one of the greatest feelings in all the world to know I'm filled with the Spirit and God is using me. Being Spirit-filled, he used that illustration here. He actually, these people thought that Peter and the other disciples were drunk in Acts chapter number 2. And he said, these men are not drunk. Look at verse number 15. He said, for these are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. Peter said, it's still early. These men are not drunk. He said, no, they're not drunk. He said, but this is that which was spoken of the prophet Joel, that it shall come to pass in the last day, saith God, I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. You see, these men were being controlled by the Spirit. Paul used that same illustration in Ephesians when he talked about being not drunk with wine, whereas in excess, but be filled with the Spirit. You see, when we're Spirit-filled, we're being controlled by the Spirit. When we're Spirit-filled, the Holy Spirit of God is controlling what we say. The Holy Spirit of God is controlling the way we act. The Holy Spirit of God is controlling the way we respond and the way that we feel. The Spirit of God is in control. And Peter, as he stood to preach, was filled with the Spirit. Man, how I want to be Spirit-filled. I long to be filled with the Spirit. I've heard pastors say, when you've gotten truth, nothing else will do. If you've ever truly been Spirit-filled, nothing else will do. You know what I'm talking about. If you've ever been filled with the Spirit of God, and I'm not talking about some experience where you talked in tongues or you flopped in the floor. I'm not talking about nothing like that. I'm talking about where you were under the control and the influence of the Spirit of God. If you've ever been there, you know you've been there. And if you've ever been there, nothing else will do. It's so frustrating to witness without being controlled by the Spirit, not being filled with the Spirit. It's so frustrating to preach without being filled with the Spirit. It's so frustrating to try to live the Christian life in the power of the flesh when you know what it's like to live it in the power of the Spirit. And so I just want to encourage you tonight, hey, be Spirit-filled. Peter was Spirit-filled. So number one, the method of his preaching, he was Spirit-filled. But not only that, he was standing forth. Look at verse number 14. Pastor was talking about there a minute ago. He was talking about standing. And in verse number 14, the Bible says in verse number 14, it says, but Peter standing up. Peter standing up with the 11. You say, well, that doesn't really seem like much. Well, it doesn't seem like much until you hear what he says. It doesn't seem like much until you realize who he says it to. You got to understand, this same crowd that Peter's preaching to is the same crowd that crucified Jesus a couple weeks ago. So, if you just read verse 14 and you say, oh, well, you know, Peter standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice, oh, big deal. What's the big deal about that? I'll tell you, it's a real big deal. 40, 50 days ago, this same crowd right here was hollering, crucify him, crucify him. But now Peter's standing up in front of this same crowd, and he actually, we'll see here in a minute, he calls them a wicked generation. Pastor read it, an untoward generation. You know what that word means? Crooked. So you got to understand who Peter's preaching to. Peter's standing forth in the midst of a wicked generation, and he's Spirit-filled. And if we're going to be preachers in our day, we're going to have to be Spirit-filled. We're going to have to stand forth. We need to stand forth in this day in which we live in. I believe Brother Graham said it this morning, haven't done all to stand. In Ephesians chapter number 6, he said, take unto you the whole armor of God and stand. And having done all, stand. Right? See, we need to stand forth in this day we're living in. God help us to stand up. Stand up. Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. Right? Stand up. In a day when Pastor mentioned it this morning, when the Sodomite crowd is standing up, the woke crowd is standing up. You know, we could go on and on. There's all kinds of people that are standing up. We as Christians need to stand up. We need to stand forth. Not in an arrogant way, not in an ugly way, but we need to courageously and boldly stand forth. Peter stood forth because Peter was Spirit-filled. I'll tell you why a lot of times we don't want to stand forth, because we're not Spirit-filled. You get filled with the Spirit, you don't have no problem standing forth. But you try to stand forth in the power of the flesh, and it won't be long for you. You'll be sitting down. But Peter stood forth, and God, how we need to stand forth in the day in which we're living. So not only was he Spirit-filled, but he was standing forth. And then the next thing I see is he was speaking firmly. Look at verse number 14. Peter's standing up with the 11. Look at what it says next. He lifted up his voice. He lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem. Look at the next phrase. Be this known unto you. I mean, he is speaking firmly. He lifted up his voice. Peter wasn't whispering. Peter wasn't hiding in a corner. Peter wasn't over beside the Culligan water jug at work. No, Peter was standing forth, and he was speaking firmly. He had a message, and he wanted those people to hear his message. And God, help me as a preacher to be Spirit-filled. Help me to stand forth and help me to speak firmly. Be it known unto you, Peter said. Amen. Peter said, I got to tell you something that is very important. You need to know this. And we as Christians, we need to be preaching at work. I'm not saying get fired. I'm not talking about you doing it. You need to be working when you're working. But when you get an opportunity, when God presents an opportunity, whether it's at work or whether it's at a ball game or whether it's at the gas station or whether it's at a family get-together, we as Christians, we need to be spirit-filled. We need to be standing forth, and we need to be speaking firmly, telling this world about Jesus. We don't need to be hiding in a corner. We don't need to be running and ducking and dodging. No, we need to be boldly standing and speaking firmly and telling the truth. Peter, we see the method of his preaching. He stood forth. He spoke firmly. Look at the message of his preaching. See the method of his preaching. Look at the message of his preaching. I like this right here. Look in verse, I'm not going to look through all these verses, but if you were to read in your own time, in verse number 15, he starts talking about these are not drunken as you suppose, but this which was spoken by the, you see in verse number 16, the prophet Joel. And so he goes down and he really, literally, if you go to Joel chapter 2, Peter is expounding on the scriptures. So the message that he was preaching, it was expounding on the scriptures. Peter was going, he went to Joel chapter number 2, and he begins to tell them some things out of Joel chapter 2. And then if you keep reading and you get down a little further, he starts talking about, look at verse number 25. He says, for David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand that I should not be moved. If you read down through there, he is expounding on Psalm 16. And then later, at the end of his message, he expounds on Psalm 110, I believe it is. You'll see that Peter is expounding and explaining the scriptures. That's what the word expound means. It means to open up. So we say, what was the method of Peter's preaching? He was spirit-filled. He was standing forth. He was speaking firmly. But what was the message that Peter was preaching? It was the scriptures. Peter was preaching the scriptures. God help me as I stand here tonight to expound upon the scriptures. I want to go on record saying tonight that I sure am thankful that I got saved and I was placed in a Bible-believing church under a pastor that preaches the scriptures. Thank you, Pastor. You know, see, there's a lot of churches. Can I tell you, there's a lot of churches that met today. They didn't have a preacher expound on the scriptures. Now, he might have got up and he might have read a scripture, but the rest of his sermon was stories and it was illustrations and it was tear-jerking, emotional things. And I'm not saying they have their place and they're okay, but at the end of the day, what we need to do when we go and we preach, we need to expound the scriptures. When we're trying to witness to a coworker or a family member, you know what we need to do? We need to expound the scriptures. We need to explain to them what the Bible says. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. See, if we're going to get people saved, if we're going to preach the gospel, then we are going to have to share the scriptures. Right. Expound the scriptures. Amen. Can't expound them if you don't know them. Right. Can't explain them if you don't read them. Right. Peter, he got up and preached, and you know what he did? He expounded the scriptures. God help me when I preach to expound. I mean, I'm telling you, I was reading this passage. It was challenging me. I mean, this is, as far as I can tell, I mean, we know Jesus preached the Sermon on the Mount, right? And Jesus preached some mighty sermons when he was on earth. But I'm open to being corrected. But as far as I can tell, this is really the first sermon preached besides Jesus. Jesus has gone, and Jesus said, you know, Jesus actually told his disciples, I was just reading this when I was preparing for Sunday school, and I didn't even think about it until just now, but Jesus told his disciples that he was going to go away, and he said, you'll do more mighty works than I do. John 14, maybe. He said, I'm going to send the Comforter. He said, I'm going to go away, and he said, you're going to do mightier works than I did. And I think this might have been what he's talking about. Peter, I mean, Jesus preached some great sermons, but he didn't get the results that Peter got here. But Peter stood up and he preached a sermon. In the very first sermon that we see preached in the Bible, you know what it is? It's expounding the scriptures. Peter took that Old Testament, Joel chapter 2, expounded on it. He took Psalm 16, expounded on it. He took Psalm 110, expounded on it. Can I tell you, when we stand and when we preach and when we teach in a Sunday school class or on a bus route or sitting around the Culligan water jug at work, we need to expound the scriptures. That's what people need. They need to hear what thus saith the Lord. They don't need to hear our opinions and what we think and what grandma thinks and what my preacher thinks. No, they want to hear, what does God think? Amen. We need to expound the scripture. So Peter, not only did he expound the scriptures, but he exalted the Savior. Look at verse number 22. I could preach the whole message right here. You're talking about a message Peter preached. I mean, Peter preached a message right here. And he exalted the Savior. Look at verse 22. It says, ye men of Israel, hear these words. You see how firmly he's speaking? I mean, you can just hear it. I mean, Peter's not, you know, Peter ain't, you know, he's letting her have it. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. What I'm about to say to you is important. And he says in verse number 22, he says, Jesus of Nazareth. Boy, I bet that got their attention. You do realize this is that same crowd that just crucified him. He said, Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God, among you by many miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. I put here that Peter he exalted the Savior. He talked about his proof in verse number 22. He talked about his pain in verse number 23. Look at it. He being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. He talked about his power in verse number 24, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holding of it. He talked about his position in verse number 30. Look at it in verse 30. Therefore, being a prophet and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ, look at it, to sit on his throne. He said in verse number 32, this Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses, therefore being by the right hand of God exalted. You see, Peter's exalting the Savior. He's talking about Jesus. He's talking about Jesus' proof, his pain, his power, his position. He mentions his promise. Look at verse number, what verse is it? Verse number 33. He said he's exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this which ye now see and hear. He's exalting the Savior's promise. He said, hey, Jesus promised this day would happen. Jesus promised that his Holy Spirit was going to come. He not only did he talk about his promise, but he talked about his preeminence. Look at verse number 36. He said in verse 36, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus. He said, that same Jesus whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. He said he's preeminent. He's the Lord. He's Christ. You see, Peter's exalting the Savior. When we preach, you know, that's what we ought to do. We ought to exalt the Savior. I, when I get done preaching, I pray to God that somebody would say, man, we got a good Savior. Amen. That ought to be the goal of every message we preach, is that somebody would see Jesus. You see, he exalted to say, he expounded the scriptures, but he exalted the Savior. You know, if we're not careful, I've heard some preachers, we were just talking about this the other day. I've heard some preachers that do a lot of exalting self. You know what I'm talking about? Every story's about them. Every you know, illustration. And I understand. Like I said, I'm not bashing. I wish I had more stories. Maybe I'm jealous. It's my pride, right? We heard about that this morning. Maybe it's my pride because I don't have no stories or no illustrations. But I'm just telling you, I've listened to some preachers, and if you didn't know no better, you'd think they was the Savior. God help me not to get up here and try. I want to be like Pastor said this morning. Do you see anything good in me? I'm going to go ahead and go on record and tell you it's God. It's God. Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. Peter is standing up. He's not exalting himself. No, Peter's exalting the Savior. He's lifting up Jesus. And if we're going to see people get saved, and if we're going to preach the gospel, we can't lift ourselves up. We can't tell. I've been guilty of it. I'll be honest with you. I've been witness to somebody. Maybe you can relate to me. I got a little time. I'm almost done. I'm getting close to the finish line, right? I'm serious. I know you didn't believe me, but I'm serious. It's hot in here. I'm going to have to finish. Good night. Are y'all hot? Yeah. Is it just up here? James said it's like 45 degrees hotter up here underneath this light or something. It's underneath all these. Your eyeballs put off heat, I think. Any scientists in here that can prove that theory? I don't know, but I'm thinking eyeballs put off heat rays or something. But anyway, I don't know what I was talking about, but that's going to come to me here in 1 second. Oh, you've been there. I've witnessed to people. And you get to talk to somebody. And I mean, you want to give your testimony. That's what Paul did, right? Paul, he loved time. Let me tell you what happened to me, right? Paul was always talking about what happened on the road to Damascus. Paul said, hey, can I tell you something? Let me tell you about what happened to me when I was on the road to Damascus. But I'll be honest with you, I've been witnessing to people before, and I've been telling about what happened to me and what happened to me and what happened to me. And before too long, the Holy Spirit said, you going to tell them about me? That's what they need to hear about. Him. Now, I understand we can use what he's done in our lives to show people and point people to him, but ultimately, at some point, we need to start talking about him and stop talking about ourselves. I can't tell you how many times I've been witnessing somebody and the Holy Spirit said, won't you just shut up? Well, I mean, he didn't say it that way, but he said, well, he's a lot more polite than that, right? I told you I wish I was a better orator and I was so rough around the edges. He didn't say it like that, right? He said, won't you be quiet? Shh. Right? Shh. Quit talking about yourself. Talk about Jesus. We sang the song with the children. Let's talk about Jesus. King of kings is he. Lord of lords supreme. I don't know if that's how it goes, but close, right? Let's talk about Jesus. Go to work tomorrow and talk about Jesus. Go home tonight and talk about Jesus. Tell somebody at the gas pump or somebody at Food Line or somebody at McDonald's about Jesus. Peter wanted to tell him about Jesus. I mean, he stood up and Peter said, hey, I got something I want to say. I want to expound the scriptures and I want to exalt the Savior. I want to tell you about Jesus. So we see he exalted the Savior. But not only that, he exposed the sinner. Look in verse number 23. Look in verse 23. The Bible says, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, look at it, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. Now, I don't know if they caught it this time around. I got Peter standing up. He's preaching. I got Peter. I mean, he's a fisherman. I got Peter, I don't think he was sucking wind like Brother Moore or nothing, but I got Peter standing up and preaching with a little bit of power and a little bit of force, right? Probably going pretty strong. And I don't know if they all caught what he said right there, but I think they caught it at the end of the message. You see what he said? He said, ye, look at it, verse 23. He said, ye have taken. Now, I'm not no English scholar or nothing, but I think he's talking about the people he's preaching to, right? He said, ye have taken, and by wicked hands. So basically, Peter's saying, your hands are wicked. Right? Yeah. Well, okay, I mean, that's what he's saying. He said, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. And he went on and preached, and then he gets down in verse number 36, look at it. He says, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, look at it, whom ye have crucified. He said it again. He said, hey, in case you didn't catch it the first time, ye. I'm talking to you. I think they got it this time. Look at verse 37. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. See, Peter exposed the sin. He exposed the sinner. Look at verse number 40. Pastor read verse 40. It says, and with many other words, did he testify? You say, I wanted to point this out. I'm glad God brought me to that verse right there. With many other words, did he testify and exhort? You see, because Peter's sermon was really short. If you read this, I don't know how many verses it was, but it started in verse 14 and it ended in verse 36. What's that, 22 verses? Y'all ain't not that fast with math, did you? 22 verses, Peter preached this message. And some of y'all thinking, Brother David, you got 22 points. Peter preached in 22 sentences and you got 22 points. Well, I just want you to see in verse 40, it says, with many other words did he testify and exhort. So we ain't got the whole message here is what I'm trying to say. We just got the high points, right? So he said, with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, look at it, save yourselves from this untoward generation. I had to look up that word untoward because we don't use that word very often. It literally means crooked. Peter said, save yourselves from this crooked generation. I'd say Peter's exposing sin, isn't he? He said, ye wicked, by ye by wicked hands, Ye have crucified and slain the Lord. Ye need to be saved from this untoward, this crooked generation in which you're living. And so we see the message of his preaching expounded the scriptures. He exalted the Savior. He exposed the sin or the sinner. Last, let's look at the miracle of his preaching. The miracle of his preaching. We saw the method. We saw the message. Now I want to look at the miracle of his preaching. Look at verse 37. The Bible says, now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. Peter's message brought conviction. The preaching of Peter brought conviction. You know, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4, the word of God is quick. It's powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. It says, piercing even to the dividing asunder. See, the word of God will get down where our words can't get. Right. And Peter preached on Pentecost, and the Spirit of God pricked their hearts. It brought conviction. You know, sometimes I wonder, where's the conviction at? You know, sometimes I think it goes back to being spirit-filled. You've probably done it. If you're like me, you've talked to somebody when you're filled with the Spirit and you can just sense the conviction of God. Now, they don't always respond the way these people responded, but you can sense the Holy Spirit convicting. You can sense the Holy Spirit is pricking that heart, and it comes from being spirit-filled. It comes from preaching the scriptures, expounding the scriptures, exalting the Savior, exposing sin. And when that happens, this miracle called conviction happens. What a miracle it is when the Word of God brings conviction. Amen. That's a miracle. Only God's Word can do that. Bring true Holy Ghost conviction. And so Peter's preaching, the miracle of his preaching, it brought conviction. Not only that, it birthed converts. Look at verse 37, it says, now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, look at it, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For this promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off. You ought to say amen right there. Can I tell you who that folk that are far off are? That's us. That's us. Peter's preaching to the Jew right now. We're in a transition period. There's a lot there. I was telling Brother Brandon, I can't even go into all that's happening here in Acts chapter 2, 3, and 4. But I'm going to tell you right now, Peter's going and he's taking that gospel to the Jew. But he said right here, he said, this is for you and for your children and for those that are afar off. And I want to say amen, because I was one of those that was afar off. I was a Gentile dog, but thank God I got in. Amen. And Peter said, he's telling them that. And then verse number 39, it says, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And look, verse 40 says, and with many other words, there it is again. Look at that. With many other words. See, Peter was a long preacher too. With many other words, again. Did he testify and exhort, saying, Savior? Oh, that same verse. I'm sorry. I tried to make it count twice. Verse 41, then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. You say, what was the miracle of Peter's preaching? Converts were birthed. People got saved. The preaching, God has chosen preaching. Romans chapter number 10. Verse 13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And it goes on to verse number 14. It says, how shall they hear without a preacher? I messed that up. How's it go? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Oh, man, you're going to make me turn there. But he said, how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach lest they be sent? Right? See, preaching's what gets people saved. Peter's preaching and souls are getting saved. And you know what? Guess what? You can go to work tomorrow and you can preach and souls can get saved. God has chosen, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians, it pleased God to choose the foolishness of preaching to save them that were lost. It's what God's chose.
Peter preached, and the miracle of Peter's preaching was that it brought conviction, but also that it birthed converts. 3,000 souls were added to the family. What a miracle. Amen. What a miracle. Amen. Not only were they did it bring conviction, not only did it birth converts, but last, and this is my last point, it built the church. Preaching. It built the church. You say, do you really believe that, brother? I believe with all my heart. You read 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 2, 3, and you can't help but see that God chose preaching. God chose preaching. From the very beginning, most people believe, I mentioned this back when I was doing Peter, I believe in the book of John when Jesus breathed on his disciples. There's a little bit of debate about where the church started. Most people believe this is the birthday of the church. Some believe it happened when Jesus breathed on his disciples. But either way, I can tell you this, it was a big day for the church. This was a big day for the church. 3,000 souls were added to the church. Why? Because Peter preached. Because God chose the foolishness of preaching. And then Peter preaches again in Acts chapter number 4, and 5,000 people got saved. You see, God has chosen preaching. Thank God that God has chosen preaching. God used Peter's preaching to build the church, and he is still using preaching to build the church. Thank God for preaching. Amen. Aren't you glad for preaching? God birthed the church with preaching. God builds the church with preaching. God is binding the church together with preaching. Can I tell you, God uses preaching. Amen. We just got to preach. Amen. Thank God for preaching. I'm glad to be a part of a church that believes in preaching. You say, why is Fellowship Baptist Church growing? Why are things happening at Fellowship Baptist Church? Because of preaching. Amen. Preaching. Don't ever forget that. I realize you know that, but I just want to remind you, it's not the activities, it's not the building, it's not all the other stuff. And we got some nice people, and we got ushers, and they'll umbrella you in when it's raining, and we got mints at the back door, and we got all kinds of things going on here at Fellowship Baptist Church. But can I tell you, that's not the reason that this church is growing. That's not the reason that it's almost full on a Sunday night. That's not the reason that we're going to be building across the road. No, the reason God is blessing this church is because of preaching. Because God has chosen preaching. From the very beginning in Acts chapter 2, God used preaching. And from that time on, Paul said in 1 Corinthians, he said, I came and I preached. He said, not in the power, not in the wisdom of man's words, but in the demonstration, in the power of the Holy Ghost. Paul said, I preached, and God added to the church. And God's been adding to the church ever since. And I just hope that from this time until Jesus comes, we just keep preaching. Amen. Just keep preaching. You say, well, I'm not a preacher. Well, go to work and preach to somebody. Get your kids at home and preach to them in the living room. Right? Get you a bus route and go preach to some kids on a bus. Get you a Sunday school class and teach some people about Jesus. Go to a nursing home or jail ministry or a street corner. We just need to preach. We need to preach. God blesses preaching. Amen. Peter was preaching. The method of his preaching, the message of his preaching, and the miracle of Peter's preaching. Let's pray.